What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have DJ EJ on the My DJ Story podcast with us, brother. Can you please introduce yourself? Tell the people where you're from.
What's going on, world? It's DJ EJ from Charleston, West Virginia, right here in the Appalachian Mountains, right here in the heartland of America. Like I said, Charleston, West Virginia.
Awesome, brother. We appreciate you coming on the show. And we really want to get into your story as a DJ. You know, some of the things that, you know, sparked your interest in this career opportunity and really got you going and just kind of the beginning days of how you got started as a DJ. Can you walk us through that journey?
Gotcha, man. So it really started whenever I was a young kid and I had an opportunity to see a DJ play at school dances and everything like we always had. I grew up in the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, really about an hour and a half, 2 hours from the DC, Baltimore, that DMV area. So a lot of the influence is on me already. I was always that kid at the school dances looking over the DJ's shoulder. I wasn't out dancing. I was like, man, how was he doing that? What's going on? And so just being able to have the opportunity as a young kid to be able to carry the amps for this DJ and be able to bring the gear in for him and all that, that was really the beginning of it. And then at the level that I've been doing it at now, we're going on 10 years, celebrating my 10th year. And so it's been a blessing to be able to make it this far and then also to stay consistent and also to continue to evolve.
That's amazing, man. And at what age was it when you kind of started? And you actually like bought your first, you know, DJ setup and started doing events.
For sure. So I started, I would say definitely right around the last year of my collegiate career, just as a student. So right when I graduated, I'd say probably 22 to 23, because I'm 33 now. And that was my first time. And being from West Virginia and living here my whole life, there's obviously not like a big DJ demand or market. And so my introduction was very, very elementary, to where I was buying gear that at the time for me, my first time gear, like this was the bomb. This was the best stuff. This was, you know, the secret stuff, you know, and looking back, I always laugh at myself because I didn't realize, you know, a lot of these cats from New York and places around, they get to start out, they're exposed to techniques and skills and the Technique 1200s and all the gear and the things that matter. I was not. So 20-some-year-old me, 23-year-old me, fresh out of college, you know, I was buying the small controllers and I really started out as a digital DJ because that's all I had exposure to.
Nice, man. And that's good that you didn't let the lack of, you know, awareness and lack of access to some of these more high tech, you know, DJ sets and technologies, but you just kind of took what you had and you just made it work. You know, tell me a little bit about, you know, what gave you the confidence to keep going and, you know, working hard to get that first gig, even though you didn't, you know, have the top gear per se. You just kind of went with what you had. Like, what gave you that confidence to do that?
And that's a great question, because it was more of understanding and respect for the culture of the DJ. Even as a young man, I've always respected it and knew that I wanted to get better. I wanted to invest in myself to get better. Even before I had the money to invest, I had the mental investment. So the mental investment really started first, which led to the confidence to say, yeah, I want to purchase what I need to. I want to take the time to study the skills and the techniques, and then also having the confidence to reach out to other cats that were on higher levels. We'll say DJs like DJ Wonder, DJ Trays. Going to expos, taking the time to drive from West Virginia to Atlantic City, things like that, I really invested in to be able to fraternize with DJs who I admired, but also have interaction with. So that was really the like the confidence that we talk about, to be able to say the confidence and humility. I don't know this technique. I don't know this particular skill, but I'm asking you because I genuinely want to know. You know, I don't want to bother you to ask me how to do certain stabs or crabs and all that. These guys get that all the time. But the humility that I have is like, I really don't know. And I don't want to learn so I can do something you're doing. I just want to fine tune it so I can adapt it and make it my own. So that's been a really big success to my development over the years.
That's great advice. That's great insight on how you did it. And you know, the kind of drive that you had to make it happen for yourself. You know, what are some things that you love the most about being a DJ and that kind of fuel you to invest your time, energy, and money into building a career in it?
The fact that I have a career is what I love. I would have never have imagined having an actual owning my business, owning myself as DJ EJ, being able to build relationships within our community. Our worldly community of DJs is much smaller than you're aware. It just takes the right type of humility. Again, it all comes back to that. And me being here in West Virginia, small town, I live in a small city, big town, Charleston, the main capital city. So anytime I approach people who have gone on to have successes that you want to have, that we all want to have as DJs, when I approach these guys, I really am coming through on the humble. And so that's really what's kept me driving the relationships and being able to have a career doing this. And you gain the trust and you gain friendships with people like this, the people you're watching on YouTube and Twitch and all that. They're one call away. And it's taken years to get to that point, but that's what really drives me to keep getting better, because the things you want to learn, you call the guy, you reach out to him right there, and they're there for you.
And that's super important. You mentioned relationship building, and that's something that doesn't come natural to a lot of DJs. You know, many DJs that come on the platform, they talk about, you know, how they spent hours, top of hours, learning the craft and getting good at DJing. But a lot of times, you know, I don't hear too much about the soft skills you need to be able to succeed as a DJ. Can you talk to me about, you know, so how you built some of those soft skills and how you've leveraged it to build some of those relationships and how that aided to your success?
Absolutely. And that started... The soft skills really started before I was a DJ, just coming up with that upbringing. You know, in West Virginia, we're definitely down home country, simple people, and we really do value having family and friend relationships. And so that really did translate. Also, before I started my own business of DJ EJ and who I am, I was a part of a business of DJs, and the gentleman that whenever we had started, we spent 8 years together. He was a business guy that knew business, but had a little bit of DJing. I was a DJ who really cared about the culture, what it means to be a DJ, who also aspired to do a little bit of business. So for 8 years under his tutelage, really, I was able to pull, you know, in business, those relationship games. I was able to pull a lot of that and then apply both worlds of you got DJ EJ, the business guy, that'll sit down with you and we're going to talk about this major corporate event and I can represent and do that. Or we can sit here and talk about techniques and scratching and cutting and mixing and blending and all the good things as well. So that really has been a big proponent to my evolution as a businessman and as a DJ.
And that's super amazing, man, because you seem very versatile, where you have the best of both worlds. You don't just lean towards one side, the business side or DJ side. You have a great mix. And that's probably one of the things your clients, your customers, the people that you're working with really love about you. And, you know, it's important to note that these things didn't happen overnight. You know, you didn't just wake up and were magically good at these things. You worked on them and you're able to learn from others. And like you talked about, being humble and being very hungry for the knowledge. You know, it's super important that all DJs that are listening to this, whether you're in the game for 20 plus years or you're just getting started, that you can always learn new skills and you can always do things that's going to up your game, whether you're a DJ that's just doing it for fun or a DJ that's doing this as a business or something that's your livelihood. So, you know, listen to DJ EJ. He's definitely someone that you can learn from as well. And I would love to, you know, talk about the role mentorship had in your journey. You know, you mentioned a few people that you learned from. You know, tell me a little bit about how important they were to getting you to where you're at today.
Man, so important, because let's just talk about me as the DJ, and you're getting feedback, and we all of us DJs get positive feedback from people, and we get negative as well. Two things I learned with positive: how to take the positive feedback, but don't digest it to where it becomes your ego-filling feedback. Take that kind of feedback and learn from it, of course. With negative feedback, sometimes, you know, I've been told before, oh, this was great, you scratched a little too much or whatever. That's fine. I'm still sensitive about my artistry of a DJ, but I will take the negative things, little things like that. And I'm like, how can I learn from that even more? And that's okay. Not, I'm in West Virginia. So people here don't, they really might not know even who Jazzy Jeff is, right? So if I show up and I'm doing what I do as an artist, because again, I don't want to forfeit my artistry to just be a karaoke DJ or a push button DJ. That's not my personal end game. And so being able to have a mentor has allowed me to get the playbook on how to navigate through feedback, positive, negative, also how to maintain humility. Even whenever you're getting gassed up, you just blow up an event and people are, you know, really telling you how great you are, telling you how great this was, their experience and all that. Of course, that feels good, but the mentor that I had allowed me to say, you take that and you take it and digest it then, but leave it there and on to the next. That's great. We did that. What are we doing again? How are you going to do this better? So that's what my mentor helped shape me and continues to help shape me to continue to provide a high level and to get higher every time.
And talk to me a little bit about some of the feedback that you've gotten over the years. Like, what was the biggest lesson you learned and that has kind of transformed your career since learning that lesson based on like feedback you might have gotten?
Man, you know, being here in this rural region, which I do things between Columbus, Ohio to West Virginia to Virginia, Kentucky. And so I travel all around Carolinas as well. What I've ultimately learned is, and it's every day I do an event, every time I do an event, it's a learning experience because the client is calling you for the reason of your artistry, for the sound, for what they know you can do. Meeting the client at their point of need is the biggest thing I've learned. Again, I will go watch the illest turntablists because that's what I'm there to see. If people want me to show up and do turntablism and juggles and all that crazy stuff, great. I'd love to do that all day. But what I've learned is that most of the clients, you know, mobile events, corporate events, they just want to hear the jam. They want to hear it good. They want to hear it mixed. They want to hear it smooth. And what I've learned is just how to meet them at their point of need. And then not get mad if they don't, you know, they might not really want to get down with a whole bunch of, even a bunch of like remixes on the spot. They might not want that. And that's fine. I'll give you what you want. And as long as you're happy at the end of the day, that's the biggest lesson I've learned.
Wow. That's super important because sometimes DJs and just people in general don't understand how important it is to meet your customers at their needs because they have a vision as to what they are expecting. And it's your job just to give them the closest thing possible to that vision as you can humanly possibly do. And let's not lose sight of what we want and do it for what they want. And that's super important that you highlighted that. Yeah, I would love to jump into, you know, talk to us about, you know, some of the things that you've done in your career, you know, over the past 10 years that you're approaching that, you know, has really stood out that you are really proud of yourself about and just really got you super excited just continuing and what comes next in your career.
Man, I want to say internally, whenever it comes to what I'm doing event wise, just the events that I've been able to achieve and be called back on, not do them one time, but get called back repetitively. Those have been the highlights of the career. And being able to do significant events in my city, small city, big town here in Charleston, and then to be able to be called back. Those are really accomplishing for me because I understand that in this region, we're behind, we're DJs. Everybody's behind anyways, like where we live. West Virginia is behind, right? But me as a DJ, a lot of people don't really know what I do. And so the fact that these major places and these major events are understanding, like, you know, we want this event to be this way, we're calling him. That's the only guy we're calling. So that's been one of the biggest achievements. And then me as a business person says, well, that's great. We're doing it here in Charleston. Let's go to Columbus and let's go to Richmond, Virginia. Let's go to Lexington, Louisville, Kentucky, these places like that, because our biggest events are their small or medium events. And also I'm willing to do what I have to do to earn these events. I don't want to step into Daryl places or anybody like that to steal anything. I would love to earn an opportunity. So those are some of the biggest achievements that I've been able to be proud of. Here as a DJ, because I never would have thought when I first got into DJing, and many, like all of us, we just want to do a couple cool events. Maybe if we get a shot to do something like this and that, learning how to get that shot has been, that's been the secret. It's not getting the shot. It's what you got to do to get that shot. That's been the crowning moment for sure.
Awesome. No, and I definitely want to dive deeper into that. You know, a lot of DJs, they struggle with finding their next gig or their next opportunity. You know, yes. What's some advice that you have for DJs to you know, get more clientele and to, you know, build their brand and to get more people to book them?
That's a really great question. And that's something that I ask myself still every day, understanding that our value as DJs is immense. Our value is undervalued by a lot of corporate, mobile, things like that, because we as DJs have got to, I just watched a video on this the other day on YouTube, but, and I'm always trying to reach my mind out to learn more, but us DJs, one of my opinions is we've got to be well-spoken. We're already DJs when we're coming to these million-dollar, multi-million-dollar corporations and trying to vest ourselves, right? We've got to be well-spoken when we talk to these corporate people. We've got to be professional on the highest degree. These people are taking care of deals and contracts that are way out of our league. And so whenever we say like, hey, you want us to do your event, we've got to also speak their language. And so that's one thing that I've always wanted to make sure I was sharpening my skill to be presentable. And I know when the DJ shows up to these same people and they're like, man, we just signed a deal for $1 million, $2 million. And here I come talking about, well, I need X amount of thousand for this event. You see what I'm saying? But I want to present like I'm the $1 million deal too. So showing up on time, being well-spoken. What do you think these people are going to say when the country kid from Charleston, West Virginia shows up and I'm trying to vouch myself to you, right? That's why you got to be prepared, well-spoken, professional.
Definitely, man. That's wonderful advice. And I'm sure your clients really appreciate the work that you do and the pride that you take in DJing and servicing them and providing the best experience that you can provide possible to them. So
yes,
thank you for that. I would love to hear a little bit more about some of the things you're working on now, what we can see from you in the future.
Definitely. So growing my Twitch channel, I've been live streaming a lot on Twitch. I've also been thinking, and this is where I've been. So the Twitch thing that's going on right now, all the DJs are on there from the top to the bottom. But I personally have been thinking beyond Twitch because I know, and everybody's talking about in real life when we get back to da da da. So I'm like, I don't want to focus all of my time on Twitch because why? Because we know being real, when the events open back up, your favorite DJ that's been on Twitch 5 and 6 days a week is not going to be on there. They're not going to be worried about you in the chat because we all want to get back to working. So my brain has already been thinking beyond Twitch. Let me build these relationships. Let me get back to what I was doing now while the rest of everybody else is trying to chat on Twitch, right? That's what I've been preparing for. Just want to have that kind of foresight to be able to be ready and be able to be available for the same people I've made relationships with in the digital world to let them know that I still exist in the real world. We can link up, right? So that's kind of my plan.
That's great, man. And I wish you much success. And I think you're very forward thinking. I think that you're going to see a lot of success with being able to build those relationships. And once things go back to normal, be able to capitalize on the relationship you've been building throughout the pandemic and then even when it's over. So great job on that. Are you ready to jump into the lightning round?
I am ready to jump into the lightning round. Can I mention what my Twitch handle is? Or
yeah, I'm going to have that for you at the end.
Okay, great. Let's get into the lightning round then.
Awesome. Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
I use Rain 12s. I use Rain 12s with a 72 as well, of course, Serato. And I've just always prided on having those and made the jump from a digital was an NS7-3, NS7-2 to a 3, and then it was time to get something bigger and better, and that was part of the investment. And I was right around the time I didn't want to go to turntables because I started hearing about phases, and so I went ahead and just got the Rain 12s, and I've got two pair. I actually invested in a pair for the Rode that I keep in Rode cases, and then I've got a pair right behind me. My streaming setup, that's here all the time. My theory was LeBron James doesn't have an asphalt court at his house. He's got a real half court, and he's in there making foul shots and practicing things that matter. So that was my whole plan.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
DJ Wonder, Shade 45.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and why?
Man, I've had a few good ones. So one of my favorite ones is here in Charleston. It's called Carnival, and they bring in three different acts. They bring in me as the headliner. They bring in a regional talent. Like, they'll get a really talented live band to kind of give that aspect of it. Usually from, you know, like your casino type circuits, the people that can play anything who are phenomenal. They'll bring them in, and then they bring in a local group who can do the same thing. And they have all the live action going on. It's a big celebratory event, and I mean, pack it out, 1,000 people would, and it's an awesome time. And we just get down, and I headline the thing, and man, it's crazy. It's a good time. You can check that one out on my website. There's video documentation of that event.
Awesome. Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Oh man, I've had some good interactions, but I want to say DJ Spider, the homie DJ Spider from LA, because we met through Twitch, actually. And we've been able to link up. We've exchanged phone numbers, and something that I never would have imagined happened, being from West Virginia, you know, being here, and just interesting because of all the things that he does and just the relationship and friendship we've been able to build over the last few months. Super interesting. So yeah, DJ Spider-Man, shout out to him, Los Angeles.
What's one thing that you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
The prep work, the time that it goes into it. And prior to, I mean, you live stream for 2 hours, but people don't see me. I mean, you can see it. People don't see me for the hour and a half, you know, making sure the camera, the visuals, and also building the visuals. You know, the visuals have definitely got to be clean to me. It's got to be a representation. Twitch is an extension of your brand. That's an extension of my brand. That's how I look at it. It may not be for you, but it is for me. So that's one thing that's been tedious. But what I hate the most, boy, is here in West Virginia, trying to tell people about Twitch when they're barely on Instagram. That's been the downfall. So I kind of left the folks in the dust on Twitch, and I've just forged my own way of relationships, and that's fine. If you don't want to tune in, totally fine. I'll take the time to tune in and build relationships with these other folks. And that's why I'm here right now. So
shout out to DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
And I mean, DJ Spider, I would love to facilitate that, to put somebody like him at his level and his stature and accomplishments in our industry, to be able to put him on to this conversation. This would be great. Also DJ Right Touch, from Washington, D.C., another homie I met through Twitch, exchange phone numbers, conversation, phone calls, great guy, a DJ who's very talented. Also, a DJ who really needs to be respected too is my mentor, DJ Wise from West Virginia. He's got going on 30 years in the game. And there's a lot of guys like him who may be unknown on a main level, but their energy, their knowledge, this is who I pull from. DJ Wise is my mentor. Their energy, their knowledge has got to be tapped into. So I would love to have somebody like him on here, because there might be that older cat who's got 20, 30 years in the game, and who has so much music knowledge and should be celebrated for their time being consistent.
Awesome. We would love to hear their stories on this podcast, man. And where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
So we're doing it online. You can find me always on twitch.tv/playDJEJ. Everything, every handle. I've been fortunate enough to be that lucky DJ that doesn't have to put a one or an underscore. Everything is Play DJ EJ. So Facebook at Play DJ EJ. Instagram, follow me, please. Let's chat. I'm so hungry for networking and opportunities to learn about you and learn from you, really. So at Play DJ EJ on Instagram and playdjej.com. everything is there. It's lined out for you. So I'd love to hear from other folks in other areas and be able to see how I can help you guys out with your Twitches or mixing, things like that. I'm open for that.
Awesome, brother. Well, everyone, you have heard DJ EJ on the My DJ Story podcast. This has been an interview with tremendous value. I've learned a lot, and I'm sure you have learned a lot as well. So thank you, brother, for dropping knowledge on everyone. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.